And we're real lucky again, Bob, to have Chastity right here in the studio. Chastity Brown, welcome back.
Good to see you.
It's good to be back.
Boy, it is nice to have you back. It's been a while.
It has. I was thinking about that on the way up here. It seems like the last time I was in was when I released my other record about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll just make it an annual, annual thing.
Every time you're ready to do it, you just show up on the Roadhouse. That'd be just great.
Great.
You know, I spent some time this afternoon on your website listening to the CD, the new CD, and it is so well done, Chastity.
Thank you.
You went back home to Tennessee to do this album.
I did. Last November, I went on the road by myself, ended up getting in touch with some people in New York. I met a fella, Fred Cannon, who introduced me to Rose Drake, who owns this label down in Nashville. And as things would have it, like, it just kind of snowballed into this beautiful thing that I got signed to the label and ended up recording this whole record down there. And it couldn't have been a more prime time for me to record down south. Living here so long, I've lived in Minnesota for 7 years now, but I was telling another interviewer yesterday is that living here made me accept where I came from, and my roots are just as strong in the music of Dolly Parton as it is in the music of someone like Mavis Staples. It's the marriage of the two. And so, it was a great place to record it.
And what a full sound that came out of that production studio. I mean, you had folks, studio players that joined you?
Yeah. Yeah, the producer I worked with, Paul Bono, him and I worked really closely. The label Creative and Dreams would fly me down there, and Paul and I would work for a good 2 weeks. At least every couple months they did that. And so Paul and I worked together really closely for 4 or 5 months before he started incorporating other musicians. Some of the guests that are on the record, Blair Masters, who's a piano organ player, he's played with, her name slips my mind, Womack. And then Garth Brooks, he's been Garth Brooks' piano player, organ player for a long time. Then Anton Nesbitt, bass player who plays with CeCe Winans, has played with Mavis Staples. Kyle Whalum, an amazing bass player. Bernard Bell, an amazing drummer. It was some monster players. I've never been in that situation, and it was like frightened. I was just like, holy, how is this going to go? And from the very beginning of working with these guys, the very instant that we went into to work on these tracks, they just knew what to do, just super gifted musicians.
I'm so used to hearing you either playing alone or as a trio,
mm-hmm.
that to hear this music with a full background of sound,
mm-hmm.
it just takes a whole another level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, I'm listening to that. As I did this afternoon, as we just heard in that previous sound,
mm-hmm.
I Leave Home. Now, I'm assuming that these are songs that you had written prior to setting up that studio.
Yes, kind of.
Okay.
Something really special happened in that a couple of these songs, House Been Burning is a track that opens the record when you first press play. That song in Leroy completely came out off the cuff. House Been Burning, Paul, the producer, he kept singing, like, I had created that whole guitar part, and then Paul and I had this, like, extremely thick political conversation, and we were just super charged up. And so we went back upstairs into the studio, and Paul was like, Chas, you know, what about, like, Who Set the Fire to House Been Burning? And I was like, okay. And so we sang that a couple times and kind of bookended the song with it. And then he was like, just go for it. Just sing whatever. And so what you hear on the record is kind of I edited it. I sang a huge, long, long, long verse. And then we just edited it and made it one verse and then a second verse. Leroy came out in a very magical way as well, in that I only had the chorus. I knew it was about this character, Leroy, but I couldn't quite place it. If he were a lover, a gay man, an old person, someone in a building trying to save them, I couldn't quite place it. And Paul just pressed record, and the whole song came out from start to finish. And that doesn't happen often. And when it does, you're just like, you just want to shut everything down and walk away, and because you're so freaked out. And the other songs, I don't know. I think the fire went under me in this record and the creative process, and just trying to hone in on my craft and be a better writer, be clearer in the storyline and melodics and atmosphere and nuances. And so each song kind of came out a different way.
When I listened to Leroy, it sounded very much like this is something that was very close to you, but it sounds
more like...
That's
why it was so freaky. That's why I was just like, what the hell just happened? Hmm. Let's just stop right there, because I was telling another interviewer actually earlier this morning, an interviewer from the City Pages, because she wrote me and was just wanted to know about that song in particular, and I was just like, well, yeah, as I was singing it, it was like there was no other way that song should have been sung. Like the words just like came out, and the whole scene. Maybe we should play that one since I've been talking about it so much.
I kind of sat and listened, I thought I'm trying to follow the story, you know, and it just sounded like it was somebody that was very close to you and a kind of a personal song.
Yeah, it has a special place in that. I think it's a common thread song, the story of it.
Should we listen?
Sure.
Yeah.
Before.
Holy cow.
That was
that is amazing.
Thank you. Thanks.
Chastity Brown, Leroy, from her upcoming, soon to be released CD, Back Road Highways.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have never believed that's off the cuff. I mean, as far as your transition on that, it's just drew me right in.
Thank
that's
you.
For sure, yeah. You know, I was thinking as I listened to that one, a while ago when you were on the Roadhouse, you talked about learning to trust your voice and just let it go. Mm-hmm. And I remember you talking about that and just feeling, you know, I got to let that out there. There's a couple of songs in particular on this new CD where you seem to do exactly that.
Yeah.
And one of them was I Leave Home that we heard mm-hmm. before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that struck me, and there's probably, you may see it differently, was I think it's called Lift Us.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just kind of let that voice go. How is that transition? Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
I like that you remembered that, because the last time I was here, I was very focused and still am on the voice as an instrument and singing the exact notes that I want to sing. And I think a lot of times, because I'm like a soul singer, it's very easy to... You can scoop all day in soul music and really blow and belt. But, you know, like on Leroy, it'd be completely inappropriate to sing that song that way. And so, yeah, it's just another exercise of craft to do that song and then turn around and do a song where it's just full throttle vocal performance. So it's something I'm still working on and for sure feel that with this record that I got to a new place with that, but still have it in my mind. There's still certain things I can't do, but that I am hoping that, you know, maybe by the end of the summer I can do.
Boy, there's a lot of things I can't do. How about you, Bob?
I can't think of, musically, I can't think of too many things
that you can't do.
Yeah, that we can do, that you can't.
You know, you're down in Nashville, it's the biggest place for music in the U.S. as far as I know. Did you get a chance or did you make the opportunity to get out there and play around town?
Yes, I did. Nashville's interesting because of its history. Same way I would say in playing in New York and playing in the Village of New York, because it has such a rich history of folk music, of amazing writers, amazing players. And so you get that same sort of New York vibe in that almost the whole audience is involved in the music industry in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. Every coffee shop you go to, every grocery store, every bar, everyone in that town works in the music industry. For instance, Minneapolis has, I think, 3,000 to 4,000 registered songwriters, whereas Nashville as a city, not the surrounding area, has 16,000 registered songwriters. Mm-hmm. So, needless to say, it's hard to play a gig in that town. Each time we've played down there, it's been a blast. I do have good friends and stuff down there, but I only got to see my mom. If I was down working on this record for 2.5 weeks, I would see my mother and family for about one day. And in that day, I'd be trying to wind down from being in the studio life. But this whole year, I've just been going down to work, which is the label's done really well with keeping me reined in and like focused, and which is what you need to do when you're making a record.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself going back to Nashville, going back to Tennessee
to live?
Yeah.
No. My partner and I have been looking at Asheville, North Carolina. Those mountains are the main reason why I would go back. I of course love the people. I love the people of Minnesota as well. And so there's, you know, obviously conflict there, but those mountains kind of supersede anything, which is, you know, to be quite honest, why I love coming up to Grand Marais and playing at the Gunflint, like I was telling you guys before we came on. I am a tree hugger, and I also play live music. So to have that combination of being in the woods, coming down, playing a show, going back to the woods is the most perfect scenario for me. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to tell folks, anyone that's listening, that tonight we will be playing this album for the first time in public ever. We'll be playing it live down at the Gunflint, and we're really excited about that because the Gunflint Tavern, since I had played up here the very first time solo, I think like 3.5 years ago, Jeff was just amazing. The staff is always just like just really good folks and treat us well, and we always have just a darn good time. So just that little snippet.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah, you're going to put the album out, I think, on March 24th, it said on your website?
It's getting released in Europe on March 24th. It'll be promoted in Europe and then promoted within a couple like locations in Minnesota. It'll be obviously it's being promoted all over Minnesota mm-hmm. and then down south and East Coast, but primarily the label's starting in Europe.
Is there an event that you're going to say, "Hey, this is my CD party"?
Down in Minneapolis on March 24th, we are playing at the Cedar Cultural Center.
Oh yeah,
it's a Saturday evening.
That'll be nice. Nice spot to play.
Yeah, I love the Cedar. It's just one of the most gorgeous venues in town to play in. And so yeah, that will be the grand finale. Well, not finale.
The beginning.
Yeah. No, but for us the. But the behind the scenes work of working on this record and then working on playing something like this live, we had been busting our butts, mm-hmm. the band and I, and the label, everyone involved. We've all been working so hard. So to actually just get to play is mm-hmm. like kicker.
A finale.
Yeah, yeah, it's the kicker. Oh, I'm so excited.
Kind of relax a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. 24th. That's when everything's going to break loose.
Yeah.
Now, by signing with a label like this, does that take a lot of the marketing part of it away from your shoulders? Do they do that for you?
It's a joint effort. Obviously, for the European aspect of it, I'm not going to participate in, and I can't even fathom what in the world that's going to entail. Mm-hmm. But there's certain things that happen beforehand, like the press kit. Anything that goes out about me, I always pre-approve well before. So there's like 3 different templates that the label will use that are all pre-approved, or photos that are all pre-approved. And but it's hard for me to sit still. And they're like, I think I've tested their patience because I'm just not... Being a roots musician, it's just not in my mentality to remove myself from any amount of work or any amount of participation with any community, or just like, it's all about connecting. It's all about being personal, in whatever community you come into. And so they've had to probably work harder than they would like just to keep me, not booking too many shows or not like exhausting myself with just work and stuff. And that's difficult to trust that something will get done the way I hope it will get done. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning. We're all learning how to work with each other. So it's cool.
You mentioned that you got in that studio down in Nashville. You were a little intimidated by some of the players there.
Yeah.
But that went away.
Yeah.
I'm assuming right away. When you work with a group like that, do you find in any way that you compromise your original ideas, or you just fall into something that sounds better? How does that go with new players?
Before these guys played on any of the tracks, we had set it all up. And we, meaning Paul and I, one-on-one in the studio, set up all the parts that I would play. So if I wrote the song on the banjo, it'd be all the banjo parts, a scratch idea of like percussion, any vocals or little shakers or electronic nuances. Everything was set up. So when the guys came in all the piano player had to do was his piano part, and they had the full accompaniment of all that we had created. The first couple of times of working with Paul, that was what challenged my concept of like compromise or not compromising. Just him introducing things like, this song's too long. We need to cut a minute and a half, because do you need to say that exact same thing six times? Is that necessary? You know, like sometimes I want to sing a chorus for three times round, and he's just like, do that live. Like, you don't, you know, or just backing vocal parts. Like, there's just so many. Paul Bono is just a great arranger. And it took me a couple months to see that, because I was just, I never had feedback like that before, or anyone. My bandmates have always just created their parts. They've never messed with my arrangements. I've never had anyone start jerking things around. and that's what Paul did. And we both had the same goal in mind on every song, just to like craft it out and arrange it in a way that it was the strongest song possible. So
We've been speaking with Chastity Brown, and I know, Chastity, you mentioned that you needed to get going.
Yeah.
And what song can we play? What would you prefer we play as you walk out the door?
Well, you've mentioned Lift Us twice, and I feel like if you gravitate towards that, let's play that. And and then everything else, everyone will be able to hear this evening down at the Gunflint.
Great. Now, you're playing tonight and tomorrow night?
Yes.
And what time do you start?
9 o'clock.
Great. So all you folks out there listening, right in downtown Grand Marais, the Gunflint Tavern, a great opportunity to see and hear Chastity Brown, and all five of your band members will be there.
Yes, yeah.
So perfect. First time that you've had everybody at the tavern, I think.
Yeah, first time. We'll see how we can all fit in, but I believe we're going to have a smashing night. It'll be wonderful.
Chastity, thank you so much for coming in the studio, and I hope that you let us know when you're back in town.
I will. Thank you both.
Great to see you again.
Yeah.
But I did.